The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
To the Eric Metaxas Show.
I'm the announcer and Eric is the host, but they name the show after the host, so you have no idea who I am, do you?
Well, do you?
Mommy? Papa? Do you know who I am?
Mommy?
Now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
Alvin, you know what today is?
No, what?
Well, two things. Today is the day we talk to John Zmirak.
Oh, yes.
In a couple of minutes,
we're
unleashing the Zmirak on this program.
Oh, my goodness.
Talk about the news of the day.
Yes.
But the big news of the day is that today is the birthday of Abraham Lincoln.
Happy birthday, Abe. Aww.
Today he would be 211 years old.
Right?
I'm sorry, 211 years young.
That's right. He doesn't look a day over 210. I'm telling you, he looks
well,
great.
Well, that's the moisturizer. You know, Lincoln, I want to talk about, before we get to Zmirak, we'll talk to Zmirak about this. But I want to say, in hour two today, we're rerunning my conversation with director Michael Pack. He made a documentary, ladies and gentlemen, about Clarence Thomas. I want to tell you, most Americans, especially younger Americans, because I think I'm young, and then I realize I can't be that young, because I remember all this stuff so vividly that happened. You know, this was, what, 1991, mm-hmm. when Clarence Thomas went through that thing. And I think to myself, whoa, that's close to 30 years ago. But his story needs to be known by every American in the same way that we need to know everything I write about in my If You Can Keep It book. We need to know these things. Clarence Thomas rises to that level. His story, you know, growing up in genuine rural poverty in the Jim Crow South and to become the justice of the Supreme Court. It is a stunning story. And it is told for the first time on film in a documentary. Folks, if you can, I would go to the theater and see that. Bring young people to see it, or just pay for them to go see it. I guarantee you that they will like it. I mean, this is like one of these things where, you know, you just cannot imagine what a heroic story it is. And I had the privilege to meet the man about a month ago.
And it's not just the story of a man. It's a story of an era, you know, the whole civil rights thing and all
that. It is so. Anyway, I just want to say, if you can, this weekend or whenever it is, go see it or send some young people to go see it. Just give them the money or give them the tickets.
Yeah.
Okay, so Lincoln is important to me for many reasons, but one of them has to do and I learned a lot of this stuff when I wrote my book, If You Can Keep It. Lincoln had a sense of history and a sense of American exceptionalism and a sense of what the founders had given us that I think is unequaled in our history. There is no figure in our history like Lincoln who had such a keen appreciation for America and for the role that God cast America in to lead the world to freedom. It is so amazing to me that this man wrote what he wrote. Even when he was a young man, he wrote. It's all in my If You Can Keep It book. But I just want to say that he understood that this is not just another country, that we had a special burden. And he called us God's almost chosen people. In other words, when you're chosen, you're given a burden. You're given a duty, a task to play, just as the Jews were chosen by God. You don't click your heels and say, yippee, God chose me. No, no, no. It's the most grave responsibility. Lincoln understood that, and it's what enabled him to do what he did, which I would dare say almost no other president would have had the courage and the wisdom to do what he did. So I just want to encourage people to know that story. If you have a copy of my book, If You Can Keep It, you can read that passage today, because it is his birthday. And I don't believe in this President's Day stuff. But to me, today is Lincoln's birthday. It's the 12th. I'm the 22nd. That's Washington's birthday. Enough. Okay, now, Albin, we've got to talk about, speaking of presidential politics, before I'm going to talk to Smirek about this, but I want to tell you what I think about what happened last night.
Okay, yes.
All right. I have a friend, Paul Erickson, and he is the most brilliant political prognosticator I've ever spoken with. So if I have any ideas that sound good, assume that I stole them from Paul. But I have a number of friends that I talked about this stuff. And I think last night, for Joe Biden to come in fifth. Fifth.
Wow.
The front runner, okay, quote unquote front runner, Joe Biden, came in behind the 37-year-old mayor from South Bend, Indiana. You know that Buttigieg, when he won the mayoralty of South Bend, do you know how many votes he won by?
I don't know.
7,500 votes was what put him over.
Oh.
In other words, almost nothing like catapulted him to become the mayor of this tiny city, right? It's like 100,000 people or whatever it is. He got second place.
Right.
Joe Biden, who was the vice president of the United States for 8 years under one of the most popular administrations, you know, for 8 years, he got fifth. Amy Klobuchar, whose name is almost as unpronounceable as Buttigieg, got third place. Warren got fourth place. And the winner, Bernie Sanders, the socialist from Vermont.
It sounds like an honorable mention.
Okay, now let me just tell you, here's what's amazing. This is you can, I mean, I think we can have some fun together on the on this program over the months, okay? I believe that if Biden was in fifth place, and if Biden was in whatever it was, third or fourth place in Iowa, Biden is done. Now, let me tell you, if Biden is done, this means Bernie Sanders is going to be the nominee, okay? He basically won in Iowa. He won in New Hampshire. The nominee is going to be a 78-year-old socialist who recently had a heart attack. Okay. A lot of people say, well, there's Super Tuesday, there's this this firewall in South Carolina, whatever. I'll tell you what, I do not think that Biden has any chance, and so he's gonna go away. If Bernie Sanders is the nominee, we're gonna have in November a landslide. It's gonna be more than 40 states for Trump. And if Bernie Sanders is the nominee, there's little doubt that we will take the Congress back.
Well, that's to be hoped.
So this will be, but what I'm saying, no. If Bernie Sanders is the nominee, I'm predicting this. Okay. I'm also saying if Bernie Sanders is the nominee, the reason this has happened, okay, the party mandarins used to have a system so that this wouldn't happen, okay? They denied Bernie last time, well, and they shoved Hillary in.
I know. Okay? What if Hillary comes in again and shoves him?
I keep saying that's what's going to happen, but people that I speak to say that cannot happen, here's part of why it can't happen. This is what I'm saying about Biden, is that Biden's people forced a change in the Democratic Party rules so that can't happen again, right?
Oh, okay.
And one of those things is the whole thing about the superdelegates and a number of things. So the point is that this time Bernie is going to the top. And if he is denied by force, his people, which is like 40% of the base, are going to stay home. They're going to burn down the house angry.
Yeah.
So we are looking at something so bizarre in American history that, unless I'm missing something here, a socialist who is 78 years old and who recently had a heart attack is going to be the nominee of the party. And short of a second heart attack, he is going to be on the ballot in November. It doesn't matter who's going to be his vice president.
Yeah.
He can only blow it by picking somebody like AOC or, you know, Buttigieg or whatever it is. And I think it's going to be a landslide for Trump. If you really have Bernie Sanders in there, it's going to be a landslide for Trump. It's going to be a gigantic mandate, and it's going to be a nightmare for the people who hate Trump, because he's going to have a mandate like nothing.
Right.
So, folks, that's what I think. I just thought I'd throw it out there. We're going to come back with Zmierich. I'll find out what he thinks. And by the way, if you go to MyPillow.com, folks, please tell your friends. Put in the code Eric, please, because that is the only way you will get our discount. Anybody can use it. I don't care. But you can't misspell Eric, E-R-I-C. We'll be back with the great John Zmierich.
Sponsored by Bonner & Partners, LLC. Text and data rates may apply.
If you've been keeping an eye on the market, then you know that 5G technology is set to take over the telecommunications sector at any minute. High-speed internet that's 100 times faster than anything available now, powerful enough to enable companies to finally realize the potential of self-driving cars, remote surgery, plus internet access fast enough to download entire movies in just a couple of seconds. The company that manufactures the key component that powers the 5G revolution is the cornerstone of the Near Future Report by analyst Jeff Brown, that shows you the top tech stocks that will help you to invest in the early stages of the 5G revolution. Text the word tech to 76280 now to get the Near Future Report. We'll send you a link to your free video presentation directly to your mobile device or computer. Get in on the ground floor of this 5G revolution with the Near Future Report. You'll learn about the device that every American will need in the early stages of 5G. Text tech to 76280 to see the Near Future Report. Text the word tech to 76280.
Hey, folks, I want to talk to you about a movie playing in theaters that I'm urging all of you to see, because it isn't just a terrific film. It's an important film about a man many of us admire or should admire, Justice Clarence Thomas. The movie features Thomas himself talking about his uniquely American journey, one that begins in crushing poverty in the segregated South and ends with Thomas confronting Senate Democrats in a confirmation battle that would test his and the nation's soul. The movie is filled with dramatic turns and confessions of the heart as Thomas tells the story of his childhood and the larger-than-life grandfather who helped raise him. We witness a remarkable philosophical and spiritual journey as well as Thomas walks us through his early ambitions in the seminary, his radical turn leftward, one filled with anger and rage, and his return to faith. The movie is called Created Equal. Clarence Thomas, in his own words, and conservatives everywhere need to see it. It'll make you angry and make you laugh and think and cry. For theater locations, showtimes, and tickets, go to JusticeThomasMovie.com. That's JusticeThomasMovie.com. Folks, let me ask you, where does the profit from your cup of coffee go? Pete and Seth Talbot, the owners of Relief Factor, have just started something called Honor Bound Coffee, and they've committed 100% of their profits to serve and bless military families. It's not an occasional or token gift. It's 100% of the profits. And believe me, this is premium coffee at a great price. All you coffee lovers and experts are going to love this coffee. But you'll know that with every cup of medium, dark roast, or decaf honor-bound coffee, you'll be helping military families who serve with honor and protect us day after day, year after year. And to get started, Pete and Seth are offering on your first order, buy two bags of honor-bound coffee for the price of one. So please stand with Pete and Seth and me and all of us here at Salem. Go to honorboundcoffee.com, not just the best coffee available, the top 1%. And honor-bound is coffee with a purpose. Give your family great coffee and give back to our military. HonorBoundCoffee.com. Is this not terrific? I got to tell you, I can't wait.
You know I love AMAC. I love what they stand for. Smaller government. I love the value they pass on to their members. A fantastic endorsed partner of AMAC are my good friends at Pure Talk USA. Just like how AMAC wants to take the pork barrel out of government, Pure Talk wants to trim the fat off your wireless bill. Here's the deal. If you're an AMAC member or a new customer, you're eligible for wireless plans for as little as $10 a month. $10 a month. And if you're an AMAC member, Pure Talk will add 3 years to your AMAC membership for free. Stop overpaying for wireless. Make the switch to Pure Talk USA. Their network covers 99% of Americans. Their customer service is based in the U.S. and they're veteran run. You can even keep your phone and your number. Get talk, text, and data for as little as $10 a month when you dial #250 and say the keyword Mike Gallagher. That's all. Dial #250 and say Mike Gallagher. They make it so easy to switch. #250, promo code Mike Gallagher. Pure Talk USA. Simply smarter wireless.
Big John. Big John.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot six and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
Hey there, folks. We're talking to Big Bad John Zmirak. Albin.
Aha.
Zmirak is on the line. John.
Can't wait.
Are you there?
Yes, Eric. How you doing?
Okay, you've written a lot of articles as usual. Let's talk about the first one first. Love your enemies doesn't mean bless your heart or even thank you, sir, may I have another. You're referring to the president's comments at the National Prayer Breakfast, and of course, Arthur Brooks spoke at the National Prayer Breakfast, talked about loving one's enemies. So what do you have to say in your article?
And then the press conference afterwards. Some Christian commentators, some good people, people I respect, questioned Trump taking the tone he did at both the prayer breakfast and at the press conference. They thought, well, he had just won the impeachment vote. He just had a very successful State of the Union. This might have been the time to reach out and embrace his enemies and show love for his enemies, such as Brooks was talking about. Nancy Pelosi announced at the prayer breakfast that she prays fervently for Donald Trump all the time because he's so lost and his path has strayed so far, which, of course, reminds me of my girlfriend said she once went to this Bible study, and the entire Bible study was, oh, we have to pray for Jennifer because she is so cheating on her husband, and it's happening at this motel, and they meet at this bar. And the whole Bible study became a gossip thing to talk about how we have to pray for her because fill in all the lurid gossipy details here.
Hmm. Well, look, it is, of course, not just possible to pray for one's enemies, but we're commanded to pray for our enemies. But you're suggesting, and the president was suggesting, that Nancy Pelosi was disingenuous.
Lying.
But let's go beyond
lying
that. Keep going. Yeah.
Yeah. But the question is it wrong for us to want our political enemies to fail, to want them to be thrown out of public office, for if they've committed crimes, for those to be exposed, for their plans to be defeated, and for them to have to return to private life, to practicing law, or teaching at some college or something where they can't do any harm. That's what it seems to me people were implying, that for Trump to be angry one day after a three-year effort to overturn a Democratic election by any means, any spaghetti they could pick up, they threw at the wall to see if it would stick. When the last piece of spaghetti peels off the wall, should he immediately then say, okay, all's forgiven, you know, now we can move forward with the bipartisan
John,
governor?
You know, John, I'm glad you wrote this, because this is something, if I had your energy and abilities, I would have written a similar piece, because I was in D.C. for the prayer breakfast. I was not in the room, but my wife and I watched it on TV. And I have to say, I had a very different take than most of the Christian media. I fervently believe that we are commanded to love our enemies. There's no doubt about it. But then the question becomes, what does that mean? And what I loved about Trump's response is that, and this is one thing you have to give this president credit for, there's an honesty and a transparency. He is not afraid to appear dumb or ignorant. He just says what he says. And what he did when he said what he said is he revealed what most people have a misunderstanding about. Most people think to love one's enemies means to like one's enemies. That
and
nothing
to wish
could
them
be
well.
And nothing could be farther from the truth. Right. When I pray for my enemies, okay, when I pray for somebody who's ideologically opposed to me, I am not praying that they succeed. I am praying that they repent, that God show them the truth. The fact of the matter is that that's what it means to believe in truth, right? So that if somebody is on the side of slavery, Wilberforce really heroically did not do moral grandstanding. He basically said, we are all guilty, we. In other words, he had a very humble tone. And that's what persuaded his enemies, some of them, to change their position. But he fought like crazy for the slaves. But he never said, I like the people who are making a lot of money off of slavery. You're not supposed to like them. Now, when the Bible says to love your enemies, it means to treat them the way you would want to be treated if you were on the other side of it. So it really has nothing to do with mushy feelings. And when the president said, I find it hard to like these people, I was cheering. I was thinking he is... he's saying what everybody's thinking, because most people who are not in this bubble of the Christian bubble or the Christian media bubble, they themselves are wondering, what the heck does it mean to love your enemies? I'm supposed to like the people who killed my mother? Is that what you're telling me? And somehow this gives us an honest conversation.
Right. We're supposed to send a Harry and David's basket to the Nazi war criminals in Nuremberg and hope that they have a happy Christmas.
Okay. Exactly. Exactly. Well, but what I'm saying is that what interests me here is that Trump is not afraid to say what he's thinking. And he says, I mean, you hear somebody like Arthur Brooks, who's an intellectual, get up there and say something. And Trump is sitting there thinking, I don't get it. You're telling me I'm supposed to like these people who have tried to crucify me for 3 years. I don't get it. But then he says, I'm sorry. I try. It's not easy, or something like that. And I thought to myself, he's being honest. And I thought he wasn't given enough credit for that, because he understands that somehow he should be doing better. But he was kind of asking the question, like, am I supposed to like them? And I wish that I could, you know, have had an opportunity to respond to him, as you do here, and say, this is the problem, is that people don't know what it means to love. We've defined love as a feeling, and it's not about a feeling. It's a completely different thing.
I analyze this in my article at stream.org in Life, C.S. Lewis's Four Loves. He breaks love into four different meanings of the word, okay? First, at the lowest level, you love shrimp tacos. You love maybe a back rub and a hot bath, okay? I don't think that is what we mean by Christ meant by love your enemies.
No.
Then there's the romantic love that seeks a lifelong union in marriage. Again, I don't think that Christ called us to love our enemies in that sense. Then there's the noble love of friendship, where you respond to what is uniquely lovable in a particular person. It would be insane for Jesus to tell us all to love everyone as if they were our best friend. So what is left? What is the sense of love that remains that does make sense that God is calling us to do? Well, it is the love that Christ directs at each human being, and that we're supposed to direct to everyone, including our enemies. Not especially our enemies, just our enemies indifferently, along with everybody else in the whole human race. So what does it mean to love in that sense? And I break that out into four steps, okay?
Now, before you say that, I just want to say that there are four Greek words for love in the New Testament. And this is where the confusion comes in. Eros is this romantic love between a husband and wife, whatever. Storge is the friendship love. Philos is, I guess, that, you know, the like love. I love a taco or whatever. And agape, this is what you're talking about now. The word agape love is divine love. It is selflessness incarnate. That is the love that we're commanded to have toward our enemies.
Right. And let's analyze what agape entails, okay? It entails, I think, four steps. First, recognizing that our enemy is as much God's creature as we are, equal in that sense. Two, recognizing, wanting for that enemy what God wants for him, which is repentance and eternal salvation. We have to want that unconditionally. That's why it's good that we provided Christian pastors to the Nazi war criminals in the dock at Nuremberg. And I've read a wonderful book an account of, you know, these pastors and what they went through trying to convert Hermann Göring. You want these people to accept Jesus' offer of mercy. If you don't, if you want them to go to hell, you're siding with the demons who drove them to commit the crimes.
Precisely. And that's why when I ever read anything on social media, people are rejoicing that so-and-so is burning in hell. I think that whoever is thinking that cannot be any kind of a Christian.
They're just deeply confused, I would say, because there is a sense in which divine justice is a good thing.
Sure.
And we should not mourn that divine justice happens. But you're not dead and in heaven, so you're not in a position to say anything about that. So just shut up and hope for mercy.
Right.
The third, we want for our enemy what we would rightly want for ourselves, a happy life, good health, and success. Except, and here's the huge proviso that prevents Christianity from being just insanity or Buddhism. Except if your enemy's earthly happiness and success depend on injustice and might block or likely to block his salvation or block the salvation of other people, then you must hope, even work for his frustration, failure.
And that is why Bonhoeffer stood against Hitler and even got part of a plot to kill Hitler, because to him, loving his enemy, meaning loving Hitler, was partially preventing Hitler from doing more evil to damn himself further. So this is a little complicated. We're going to go to a break, but luckily we've got John Zmierak for the rest of the hour. I know you won't go away, and we'll see you later.
Come and watch your children play.
They think you're the only one who can make them feel this way.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump and Bernie Sanders, the winners in last night's New Hampshire primary. The next contest in Nevada on February 22nd. Former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick has ended his campaign for president after his late bid failed to gain traction in the race. China reporting another drop in the number of new cases of the viral infection, but is reporting 97 more deaths. That pushes the total now past 1,100. In Chicago, a special prosecutor has indicted actor Jussie Smollett a second time on charges of lying to police about an incident last year. Smollett claimed he was the victim of a racist and anti-homosexual attack in Chicago, which police determined was a hoax, and charges were filed against Smollett but were dropped. On Wall Street, the Dow up 232 points, the NASDAQ ahead 69. This is SRN News.
Mortgage Corp. DBA Cash Call Mortgage. NMLS ID 128231. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in all states, including New York. Offer not available in Washington. Call 855-657-9910 for licensing terms and restrictions.
You see it on TV every day. Global turmoil. But these international events help keep interest rates low and may even drive them lower. In response, we at Cash Call Mortgage have lowered our interest rates for the new year. And that's great news for homeowners. If you have a current rate above 2.99%, call us to see how much you can save. If you qualify, we'll even pay your closing costs. And we can close your refi in as fast as 20 days with no upfront deposit. With our low interest rates and no closing costs if you qualify, there's never been a better time to lock in a low rate before it's gone. For a free quote, go to cashcallmortgage.com or call 800-299-1364. That's 800-299-1364. 800-299-1364.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous? With all the recent fluctuations, it's hard to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Our technology can forecast market trend changes with up to 86% accuracy. That's right, 86%. Founded by artificial intelligence software developers, Vantage Point gives traders and investors the advantage you need to stay ahead of market trends and better protect yourself from sudden downturns. Vantage Point's patented proprietary technology is able to analyze massive quantities of data all around the world in seconds. No more guessing when to get out or when to stay, buying too high and selling too low. Text money to 411-411. That's M-O-N-E-Y to 411-411. We'll send you a link to our free demo so you can kick off the new year in the black with Vantage Point Software. Text money to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
is a burning thing.
Now, we need to be clear. Johnny Cash is not referring to agape love as a burning thing, nor storge love, nor philos love. He's referring to eros as a burning thing. Just want to be clear. John Zmirak, you've got a beautiful article at stream.org on the subject of loving our enemies and what the president said. And you actually say in your article, I want to read, you say, I wonder if anyone has ever explained this distinction about what love really means in the case of loving your enemies to the president. If not, I'm not surprised at his reaction during the National Prayer Breakfast to the facile use of love your enemy. He was just plain confused. He honestly confessed that such talk didn't make much sense to him. And I have to say, that's what I found refreshing about what the president said. I thought the president, like everybody else, doesn't really get this. But he is not afraid to say so publicly. Most people just keep their mouths shut and they keep thinking, I'll try to be a better Christian. I try to love my enemies. Yeah. But they don't admit the fact that they don't really even know what that means, because it sounds
like
my madness.
I'll try to like my enemies and hope that they succeed and wish that their plans of evil succeed, because even though that doesn't make any sense, I have to mouth this nonsense because the Christians are listening. That's what it is.
Well, I have to say that there is no question that we are supposed to hate sin. So let's start there. Wilberforce was a Christian. He despised slavery because he knew God hated slavery. But he tried to act with love toward his political enemies. It didn't mean he didn't fight them with everything he had. But he actually thought he's doing good for everybody if he can defeat slavery in Parliament. And we have to understand, this is what you say, we're not supposed to not fight for truth. It's just that we fight differently. But we're not supposed to feel warm feelings of love for the people who are butchering our families or enslaving our loved ones. We're not supposed to feel nice feelings for them. We're supposed to love them in terms of how we behave toward them.
Sometimes the only expression of Christian love you can offer is to utterly defeat someone.
Correct.
The Nazi soldiers in World War II is an obvious example. You know, we had to fight them. We had to shoot to kill, as C.S. Lewis said about World War I. You don't wish these people are damned, but you have to shoot at them till they get off the beach at Normandy. And you have to keep shooting at them until you get march into Berlin and you close the death camps. The loving thing to do is to beat them, to crush their cause into the dirt, to humble them and force them to face the ugliness of what they have embraced by beating it down into the dust. Let me give a more close-to-home example. There was this abortionist, Dr. Ulrich Klopfer. For 38 years, he had a clinic in South Bend, Indiana. And yes, he was a friend of Mayor Pete Buttigieg. And Mayor Pete helped protect him from medical scrutiny from the state. He prevented pro-life pregnancy centers from opening nearby clinics like Klopfer.
Wait. Now, John, we've talked about this. I have not heard this, or I forgot. This is huge stuff, what you just said.
Yeah.
You just said to me that Ulrich Klopfer, who is like a Gosnell, this is a murderous butcher of the unborn. This is not just your average abortionist. This is a true monster. Everyone would see him as a monster. You're telling me that Pete Buttigieg knew him and was friendly toward him and helped him?
I'm not saying he knew him personally. I'm saying that Pete Buttigieg, as mayor of South Bend, helped fight the medical scrutiny and investigation of dirty, unsafe abortion clinics, such as Ulrich Klopfer ran until 2016, when he had his medical license stripped because he was performing abortions on girls under 14 and not reporting the fact that they were rape victims to the police as required by law.
This is unbelievable. This is in South Bend, folks. Yeah. South Bend, we're not talking about Philadelphia or New York or Newark. This is a small city. And this man, under the nose, in the very place where the supposedly Catholic University Notre Dame is located, this guy was operating for 38 years. And you're telling me that during his mayoralty, Pete Buttigieg gave this guy political cover.
He gave political cover to all the abortion clinics there, and including the dirty one that took over after Klopfer lost his medical license. Buttigieg, when it came up, when people said, look, these clinics are violating the law, they're dangerous, the women are getting sick, they're not following the law, all Buttigieg said was, I think you people are endangering Roe v. Wade. Women would have to drive too far to get an abortion if any of these clinics close. So we're going to defend them. And in fact, Buttigieg would not allow a pro-life pregnancy center to open up next door to any of these clinics to offer women a better choice.
And now, why, what was his reason for that? Because that's really horrible, I have to say.
That it was an indirect attack on Roe v. Wade.
You know, anybody who thinks Buttigieg is a moderate, I guess they have to understand that this is not moderate behavior that we're talking about here. This is really
bad news. Let me get to the real horrible punchline. Today, in South Bend, there's going to be a funeral for 2,246 unborn babies who were found in jars at Ulrich Klopfer's house. He wasn't just killing the babies, he was keeping them as trophies. That's the kind of abortion clinic Pete Buttigieg wanted to keep legal and shield from medical scrutiny. This is the moderate, religious, deeply Christian man of faith, Pete Buttigieg.
Mm. How is it possible that the news is not making a big deal of this? I mean, I have to tell you, this is right up there with Gosnell. This is the equal of Gosnell. When you're telling me that he had aborted fetuses in his home, Gosnell didn't even have that. I mean, this is really evil, sick. This is Nazi death camp sick.
It's serial killer behavior.
Actually, it's in some ways worse than some of the death camps. This is serial killer behavior, and it was legal or it was happening for 38 years in the very town that Buttigieg was mayor in. I can't process this. We have a break coming up. We're going to be right back with more John Zmirak. Now, Albin, we didn't make New Year's resolutions.
No. Neither.
Did you?
No.
I didn't either.
No.
But you know what? A lot of people did. And one of them, for some people, is to get out of pain. A lot of people deal with chronic pain. I do. Okay. And I would say within a few weeks, almost everybody who is listening, if you're dealing with this, you can get out of pain. Most of you can. Pete and Seth Talbot, that's the father and son owners of Relief Factor, have created the 3-week quick start pack of Relief Factor, and they've discounted it to $19.95. So this is a New Year's resolution. You can very likely accomplish getting out of pain, neck pain, back pain, shoulder pain, hip pain, knee pain, general muscle aches, pains due to aging, exercise, everyday living. Honestly, it works for me. That's why I rave about it. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Get the quick start pack, $19.95. You'll know within 3 weeks. Or you can call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. It works.
Sponsored by Bonner & Partners, LLC. Text and data rates may apply.
If you've been keeping an eye on the market, then you know that 5G technology is set to take over the telecommunications sector at any minute. High-speed internet that's 100 times faster than anything available now to enable companies to finally realize the potential of self-driving cars, remote surgery, plus the Internet of Things. China alone has over 1 billion mobile telephone subscribers. With most mobile manufacturers preparing to upgrade U.S. subscribers to 5G, that translates into a massive investment opportunity. The company that manufactures the key component that powers the 5G revolution is the cornerstone of the Near Future Report by analyst Jeff Brown that shows you the top tech stocks that will help you to invest in the early stages of the 5G revolution. Text the word tech to 76280 now to get the Near Future Report. We'll send you a link to your free video presentation directly to your mobile device or computer. Jeff Brown is the analyst who predicted the rise of NVIDIA. Text tech to 76280 to see the Near Future Report. Text the word tech to 76280.
How would you like to get 1 ounce of pure silver absolutely free? This is not a joke. Right now, if you go to getmysilver.com, Gold Co., the premier name in precious metals, will send you a free 1 ounce silver American Eagle coin, and all you have to do is pay for shipping and handling. That's it. No further obligation. This same coin sells for more than $20 online, but you can get one right now for free. Just pay for shipping and handling. Now, there's a limit of one per household, and at this price, you know how long this offer will last. So don't wait. If you want to get your free 1 ounce silver American Eagle, simply go to getmysilver.com right now. That's getmysilver.com to get your free 1 ounce silver American Eagle. Don't delay. Go to getmysilver.com. Getmysilver.com. That's getmysilver.com to get your free 1 ounce silver American Eagle. Getmysilver.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous? With all the recent fluctuations, it's hard to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Our technology can forecast market trend changes with up to 86% accuracy. That's right, 86%. Founded by artificial intelligence software developers, Vantage Point gives traders and investors the advantage you need to stay ahead of market trends and better protect yourself from sudden downturns. Vantage Point's patented proprietary technology is able to analyze massive quantities of data all around the world in seconds. No more guessing when to get out or when to stay, buying too high and selling too low. Text MONEY to 411-411. That's M-O-N-E-Y to 411-411. We'll send you a link to our free demo so you can kick off the new year in the black with Vantage Point Software. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Make like a Mr. Milquetoast, you'll get shut out.
Hey there, folks. Talking to John Zmirak. Lots of articles at stream.org. John, what you're talking about with Pete Buttigieg is very, very disturbing. And I think the mainstream media is not covering this. I'm kind of amazed.
It's the reality of the abortion industry. The abortion industry is, in fact, third-rate doctors because they can't get good doctors to do it because who wants to spend his life killing babies? It is not a happy, uplifting, pat yourself on the back kind of job. It's the kind of job, generally, that the lowest of the low who still have their medical licenses will do because it's a way to make money. Okay? And Klopfer apparently really loved his work, which is why he kept 2,246 medically preserved dead babies in jars.
I still cannot get over this. This sounds like you're making it up.
Today, the funeral for those babies, they're getting human Christian burial at a local cemetery. Father Frank Pavone, a priest for life, is involved in the ceremony. It's happening today. We're gonna put video and photographs of that funeral of these very real American babies being buried today in South Bend. We're going to put that up at stream.org as soon as it's available.
I need to link to that. And I need to have Father Pavone on the program. He's a friend, and I'm just stunned at this. Well, keep going. Yeah.
All right. So this fetus hoarding collector, Dr. Ulrich Klopfer, if you're a pro-life activist in South Bend and you know all this stuff, how do you love your enemy, Dr. Klopfer, in order to obey Jesus? Well, let's go through the checklist. You recognize him equally as God's creature, just as you are. You hope and pray for his repentance and salvation. You work for that if you can. You should want him to have a good life and a happy life, except insofar as his particular idea of happiness depends on killing babies for profit and hoarding them in jars in his house. That part, you don't want him to succeed at. You don't hope that he gets more mason jars, maybe at a discount, so he can keep babies, you know, in a more aesthetic way. You want him to fail. You want to defeat him, to destroy what he is doing, to defeat him utterly, the way the Allies defeated the Nazis, the way the Union defeated the Confederacy. You are not loving him correctly if you want to let him keep getting away with it, or if you want to pull your punches. You know, you can't declare peace too soon. The Allies shouldn't have declared peace in 1944 to avoid the invasion of Normandy. Say, oh, we're going to forgive the Nazis. We love them. They're our enemies. We're not invading Normandy. Let's sign a peace treaty. Lincoln could have done that while the slaves were still in chains and America was still divided. It would have saved a lot of lives. A lot of soft-headed Christians today, would, if they were alive then, would have said, yeah, let's do that. We've got to love the Nazis. We've got to love the slaveholders. So, you know, we need to leave them alone. No. No. If you love your enemies, one of your duties is to defeat their schemes of evil. And that's why Donald Trump should not relent in rooting out the people who spent the past 3 years trying to nullify the people's vote by dishonest and ruthless means. It might not make these coup plotters happy, you know, the prospect of getting kicked out of the FBI or maybe facing prison. They might be sad the way Dr. Klopfer was when he lost his medical license and he couldn't get any more fetuses in jars for his house, but that's too bad. That's not Christian love to just give people more heroin or let them buy some more slaves. If that were Christianity, it would be nonsense, and we should.
I cannot tell you how I enjoy your moral clarity, John, because this is the issue, as we were saying, to get back to the president's statement. I think the reason I wrote three books with the title Everything You Always Want to Know About God But We're Afraid to Ask. And the reason I wrote those books was precisely because I know that there are tons of people out there with real questions, and they have the question, love your enemies. What the heck does that mean? That sounds insane. But they know Jesus said it. And so they kind of keep quiet and they don't really want to ask about it because it'll maybe show them up not to be so Christian or to be ignorant. So they don't say anything. We need to shed light on these things, because when somebody has a question like that, that is a good question. Loving your enemy sounds like lunacy. It needs to be explained so that people can understand when Jesus commands it, he's not setting a standard that is a mockery of justice. He's setting a standard that calls us to a higher justice, and we have to understand what he means. And by explaining what you've just done, I think you help people understand that when the president... And the president does this all the time. He speaks for the common man. When he says, you know, I don't know if I agree with you, Albert Brooks or whatever. Albert Brooks didn't make the case sufficiently. He did a pretty good job. And I like, Arthur.
Arthur, yeah.
But he basically didn't explain what needs to be explained so that people like the president and many, many people would say, oh, I get it. I never heard that before. I never understood before that I'm not supposed to have warm, fuzzy feelings, to the people who raped my children. No, no, no. This is something else entirely. And when people like the victims of the Charleston shooting, when they pray for their enemies, forgive their enemies, it's a whole different thing. And we really do need to understand it. And the president was being honest. And as I say, that's what I applaud about this guy. He's not afraid to look dumb or what. He just says what he thinks. And he knows that the knives are going to come out. People are going to attack him. And, you know, but I think that what you've just done is give moral clarity to this issue. And this, to me, it doesn't get thornier than love your enemies.
Hmm.
You know, it's actually pretty darn clear. Real love entails, first of all, wanting someone's salvation, first and foremost. I mean, Jesus loved the Pharisees while he was calling them whited sepulchers. Peter loved the men who'd chosen Barabbas over Jesus when he addressed them in the temple. And he said, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. I know you acted in ignorance, but what God foretold has been fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again that your sins may be blotted out. Mm. That's a condensed version of Acts 3. He's confronting the crowd that chanted, give us Barabbas. He's not pulling punches. He's not saying, I respect your religious experience. It's a different experience from mine. My truth is that Jesus is risen. Your truth is that Barabbas is king. And we're going to work together to have an ecumenical exploration of our differences. No, that's not what he's doing.
We're going to go to a break.
Good illustration.
This is so wonderful to get some clarity on this. Thank you, John. We're going to be right back for a few more moments with John Zmirak.
Coming to theaters for one day only, Patterns of Evidence, The Red Sea Miracle.
My first question as a geographer is, where was the sea that was parted and crossed?
For nearly two decades, investigative filmmaker Timothy Mahoney has been searching for evidence of one of the Bible's most epic miracles, the parting of the Red Sea.
We're talking about a miraculous event of unprecedented proportion, of God's saving power.
The Red Sea Miracle, Part 1 in theaters for one day only on February 18. Get tickets today at patternsofevidence.com/Red Sea.
Hi, I'm Karen, owner of Lone Star Transfer. If you are a timeshare owner, getting out is probably a top priority. And now that the annual maintenance fees are right around the corner, this ongoing burden and expense is at the top of your list. Let us do for you what we have done for thousands of others. Our process is done legally, ethically, and quickly. Don't let another day go by with maintenance fees taking your hard-earned money. Give us a call for a no-obligation consultation at 844-284-4863 or online at LoneStarTransfer.com.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump submitting his fiscal year 2021 budget proposal to the House on Monday. Both sides of the aisle have reacted since then.
The president's budget has sent ripples through the House of Representatives with contrasting opinions from both parties. Majority Leader Steny Hoyer says the president approved a budget submitted by House Democrats, although his proposals contradict theirs.
The president's offered a budget, and we've offered a budget. And that budget was incorporated in the appropriation bills signed by the President of the United States.
House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says Democrats haven't put forth a budget.
I wonder if the Speaker will actually propose eliminating the Budget Committee because they have no work to do in this new majority of not producing a budget itself.
Bernie Bennett, Capitol Hill.
President Trump and Bernie Sanders, the winners in last night's New Hampshire primary, the next contest in Nevada on February 22nd. The Dow up 246 points, the NASDAQ ahead 77. This is SRN News.
You might wonder why Australians always seem so relaxed. Well, it comes down to sleep. And we can sleep like a koala full of gum leaves. So we've invented a solution to your sleep problems. It's called Pronto Sleep. Pronto Sleep is a two-in-one solution that helps you fall asleep and stay asleep. Pronto gently opens your nose to focus breathing so you can relax and fall into the land of Nod. And the built-in scent diffuser delivers a blend of four pure essential oils all night long for a beaut sleep naturally. Then Pronto replenishes the oils ready for the next night. Clever, eh? And does it work? Well, in trials, 84% of people with trouble sleeping found Pronto helped them fall asleep. 74% found it helped them stay asleep. You'll find Pronto now at select Walgreens, Amazon, or at prontosleep.com. Pronto Sleep is the gift of sleep from Australia.
From RhinoMed, bringing you advanced nasal therapies.
Hey there, folks. I'm talking to John Zmirak.
Yes, you
and,
are.
We've just got a couple of minutes left. John, should we talk about the Ronald Reagan prophetic message that James Robison wrote about?
Yeah, there's a really powerful piece by James Robison, who's the founder and publisher of The Stream. He published it at stream.org. The title is Ronald Reagan Delivered a Prophetic Message. And I thought it was very interesting, Eric, but this is a speech Ronald Reagan gave before you and I were born. And in it, he talked about what the fundamental problem of socialism is, that it expects the government to take over, to be virtuous instead of us.
Right.
To perform acts of charity so we don't have to run our lives and plan our lives so we don't have to. What it essentially tries to do is outsource essential Christian and human virtues to the impersonal government. Imagine you expected the government to love your wife. You expect the government to take care of your pets. You expect the government to do your job. Well, socialism expects the government to educate your children and make sure they have enough to eat, to guide your career, to help basically choose what everyone does with every aspect of their existence from bottom to top. They called it central planning. And the illusion that people like Karl Marx put across was that this is more scientific. It's more scientific and
right.
intellectual
yeah.
to have everybody's lives planned by a central authority. Doesn't that sound nice and neat and tidy?
Yeah,
if you're a bee or a termite or an ant.
Right.
Not if you're a creature of God made in his image.
Well, okay,
quite the opposite.
So this message here about socialism that Reagan was speaking prophetically about in 1964, which was the year after I was born, but I just want to be clear that message, the reason it's important today, as you're saying, is because the Democrats today, many of them are pro-socialist, and I am convinced, because of what happened in New Hampshire yesterday, Bernie yeah. Sanders is going to be the candidate that they put up. I don't think there's any way around it. And this is going to be the clearest example we have of, if you want to say, how close are we to disappearing as America if that man were elected? He makes Hillary Clinton look like Reagan. There's nothing that we've ever seen like this.
Remember, Bernie Sanders has a field organizer in Iowa that Project Veritas caught this guy on the microphone, on tape, saying that those who opposed the revolution should be shot the way they were in Cuba, that people with a lot of money, especially billionaires, should be sent to gulag camps and made to break rocks as prisoners the way they were in Russia. And all these things are good things, and in fact that even the mainstream media, like MSNBC and NBC, CNN, they are all far right wingers, according to this guy, and he would happily, he wants to break into their studios and crack their heads for being so right wing.
And this is the guy that is hired by Bernie Sanders.
Still hired. Bernie Sanders didn't fire him, didn't denounce him, did not even comment on this. Imagine, imagine if Donald Trump had a field organizer who spoke like Richard Spencer, who wore, who talked about how the Klan was good, who talked about how slavery was good, and how if we win, we're going to put people back in chains, we're going to reopen those plantations. And Donald Trump didn't fire him immediately and fire the people who hired him and fire the people who hired them. They're still trying to blame Donald Trump for what a bunch of skinhead neo-Nazis did in Charlottesville that had nothing to do with Trump. He denounced it immediately. He distinguished them from the legitimate protesters whose organization they tried to hijack. The media is still lying.
John, forgive me, we're out of time, but everything you've said is so important. Yeah. Thank you, my friend. Folks, we've got hour two coming up. Don't go away.